Wow. Amen. The book of Matthew. Find Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 30. Some of this context was covered previously that we're going to look at, but something the Lord has laid on my heart. Matthew 26, verse 30. The Bible says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended of me, because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended of thee, because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples." Now jump down to verse 69. The Bible says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. After a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew." Yes. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for the great service we've already had this morning. And Lord, as we come one more time to the well, we ask you, God, for help. Lord, please fill us, use us, speak through us. God, do what you want done here this morning. Help our hearts be open to the word of God, and may we, God, take heed to the things therein. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's much to be said out of this text. In verses 31 through 30 and 34, we see Jesus warning to Peter. When he said, ye shall all be offended because of me this night. And then in verse 34, it says to Peter, Verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. You see his warning. And there's a warning to every one of us. We've tried to make that warning clear this week, especially that one of salvation, amen. If you're lost, you need to be saved. It's not much longer left and this thing's going to be over. We're living in the last minute of the last hour of the last day, amen, of heaven's time clock. I really believe that. Amen. This thing's so far down the tracks now, amen, there's really not much time left. And then there's the warning that, amen, this morning, even as we tried to give it, was the idea that the warning of the flesh, amen, and the warning of the enemy, amen, to excite the flesh, amen. Those two enemies against our spiritual man trying to bring us down. We've had warnings from the world. In verse 33 and 35, we see Peter's wager. Jesus warned him, but Peter's got a little wager there. He didn't come out and say, Now, Lord, I'll just bet you I don't. But down in his heart, you can kind of see where this thing's coming from as he says, Though all men shall be offended of thee. What'd he do? These guys might, but not me. Yep. These guys might, but not me. That's good. I don't think he realized where he was standing. Yeah. Then in verse 69 through 74, we see his wantonness. We see how he let the Lord down.
just a few verses. In fact, in the context, if you leave it in time structure, it wasn't but a few minutes later. And here's Peter doing exactly what the Lord said he would do. And by the way, you know, Peter gets all the attention in these things, in this message especially, and in this context, but there's a little phrase in there. Amen. I have to go back and look at the verse where it said, likewise, said they all. Likewise, said verse 35. Likewise, said all the disciples. Peter wasn't the only one with a big mouth. Amen. He gets accused of it a lot. And truth be told, most of us are just like Peter.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Most of us preachers are just like Peter. I used to say, amen, they had the old saying that, open mouth, insert foot. Amen. In my case, it's just open mouth, change socks. Amen. The foot just kind of stays in there. Amen. But Peter sat without in the palace. You see, he began to drift. And then not only did he sit without the palace, as he did, he denied him. Before them all. And verse 71 said he was going out into the porch. Now he's getting a little further out. And another maid sees him and hears him. And again he denies, this time with an oath. And then in verse 73, he said, they come to him, they say, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Peter, you can't even cuss good. Amen. I'm here to tell you, if you're a Christian, you're born again, you're saved, you might as well just live for God and enjoy the trip. Right. Let God be God in your life and let God do what he wants to do. Why? Because you'll never, once you've been born again, it's changed you forever.
Amen. That's right.
You will never fit in that old crowd again.
That's right.
I'm sure, amen, there's been times, amen, where I've gone by a place and the devil has spoke to my flesh and said, you could go in that place. And listen, I'm a hillbilly. I'm from the backwoods of nowhere, amen. When I get out about the rest of the country and I ask them, anybody know where Turtle Point, Pennsylvania is? That's really where I'm from. Turtle Point, Pennsylvania is a crossroads. They didn't even put it on the map until the 911 system became needed, amen. But I'm certain, I've been in California, in the backwoods of California, and they do have some backwoods in California. They're not all fruits and nuts out there.
No.
I've been in the backwoods of California, and I'll go by a bar, and the devil will say to my flesh, you can go in there and have a drink. And my first response has been this every time, I probably could. But no doubt about it, I'd sidle up to that bar stool, sit down there, ask them, amen, draw me a beer. And I'd sit there and that beer would come down on the counter. And then, amen, I'd be the only guy in the place. But the second I picked that beer glass up and went like that, somebody would walk in the door and say, Brother Clint, what are you doing here?
Yep.
You see, what you got to remember, hey, there was a damsel. And then there was a maid. And then there was all of them. Then in verse 74, the Lord's word came true. And the Bible says, and immediately the cock crew. What I want to do in just the next few minutes is I'm going to preach on when the rooster crows. When the rooster crows. I grew up on a farm. Y'all know that. Man, we had roosters. Man, we never had roosters like New Guinea roosters. They crow all hours of the night. And New Guinea people think they got this strange idea that a hen won't lay an egg without a rooster. So when you go and you build your own brood, you start raising hens so you can have eggs. Man, they think they got to have at least three roosters for every two hens, And so all you've got all night long is 2:30 in the morning. 4:30 in the morning. Somebody shut that thing. Man, I thought I'd shoot so many roosters. But I didn't have a gun, amen. Good thing I didn't, Brother David. I probably would have. You get woke up about every 30 seconds a night, man. You just about get to sleep and a rooster goes off. I mean, and let me put that in Philadelphia language, Brother Lou. The car alarm went off, amen, every 30 seconds. I mean, it drives you crazy. But I want to typify this rooster this morning as sin. Think of him in the light of being sin. You see, people get warnings from God and there's sin in their life and they won't deal with it and they won't confess it and they coddle it and they play with it and they pet it. Amen. And they think nobody sees them.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And they think everything's just all right. Yeah. Did you ever notice when people want to sin, they find a dark room?
That's right. Yeah.
They go to a quiet place way out somewhere where there's nobody around.
Yeah.
But the eyes of the Lord are in every place. There's a young preacher that I know that was hiding out from God. God had called him to go to a certain place. And he was hiding out from God. And he had this thing straight. He raised in a missionary's home. I mean, good man. His dad, I'm still a great missionary. And he's hiding out from, he did not want to go where God had called him. So, amen. God had called him back to the place where he was raised, and he didn't want to go there, the place where he grew up on the mission field. So he got this great idea. He found a place down in central Pennsylvania, out in the boondocks. I went there to preach, amen. And literally, as you look out the window, cows walk by the windows. It's in the middle of a cow pasture. Man, he thought, I got it made, man. This is it. I'm good to go. But the eyes of the Lord are in every place. And the Lord's looking for you. Young people, God cares more about you. He wants more out of you than you'd ever dream.
That's right.
And he'll use you and do more through you than you could ever imagine.
Yes. That's right.
So here sits this young man. And in walks a red-headed preacher who gets red in the face and preaches Romans 12, 1 and 2. And God goes, bingo! He got so far down, he said, I'll fix God. I'm talking about saved. I'm talking about raised in a Christian home. I'm talking about somebody God was dealing with, young people. I'll fix God. Let me just say this. God don't need fixed. He ain't broke. And you ain't gonna fix him. And you better be thank God God's merciful. Because I've seen some folks thought they would fix God and God fixed them. In a real bad way. I'll marry a lost girl. That'll work. Then God will leave me alone. I won't have to go back. Only problem was, God cared more about his lost wife than he did. God saved his wife.
Well, yes.
And she sells out to God.
How about that?
Now God says, what are you going to do now? So along comes this preacher preaching a mission conference. And God finally reaches in, grabs a hold of his heart, and begins to squeeze. What are you going to do now? He comes forward that night, weeping, crying, sobbing, shoulders heaving. And he told me the story I just told you. And today, he's been on the mission field now for about 12 years, doing great work. The first time I went to preach for him, I got up there and got off the plane and walked in the house, him and I. And first question his little wife said was not, Brother Cliff, so good to see you. First question, first thing she had to say, so you came to see where you sent my husband, huh? I didn't send him. I'm just a messenger boy. I'm just a mailman. I had no idea where God was trying to send me.
Amen.
And then she laughed. She was just messing with me. But I said all that to say this. You can't hide it from God.
That's right.
No matter whether it's just running from God in that sense, or no matter whether it's getting involved in some kind of sin, and there's some sin in your heart, like right now, some faces are betraying. And you don't want to get rid of it because you think you've got it hidden from somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You think God don't see it. Because I don't see God's face on me. God don't see it.
This rooster is a good picture of what's going to happen. So what happens? Peter's made that wager. These guys might, but not me. Now, you know, that one over there, he got found out. That one over there, he got found out. Not me. I'm above that. I am sneaky. And nobody sees me.
There's three things in this thing the rooster proves about the warning Jesus gave Peter. I want you to notice, first of all, this rooster was faithful to do what he was designed to do. What did he do? He crowed. I'm in New Guinea. I'm preaching. I'm starting a church in this village. And we started on tarps. If it, you know, we just set out a tarp so everybody could sit on the ground. And we had one little tree in this village along by. One little tree stood up right in the middle of the village. A little road went right through the village like this. So I'm right along that road, and I'm preaching in a great way. And up walks a rooster, Brother Sam. He got about from me to that front pew. Looked up at me while I'm preaching. I mean the audacity, Brother David, of this preacher. I mean this rooster, while I'm preaching. I'm preaching away, and all of a sudden, he just goes, and he wouldn't shut up. Hey, they didn't have PA systems in the jungle. So I looked out of the crowd and I said, some of you, just like this rooster, you've always got to have the attention when it comes God is trying to do something. I just used it. You know what I noticed? Look at the place you find this rooster crowing. Peter sat without in the palace for 49.
Yeah.
For 69. He's in the palace. The rooster don't care if it's in the palace. He don't care if it's in the house of God. Sin don't care if it's in the house of God when it finds you out. But it'll find you out. In the palace. Yeah, but listen, I've been in a lot of fancy places. Brother Lou, you're a city boy. You ever seen a rooster in downtown Philly? You ever seen a rooster in a governor's house? This is the palace, man. Here that rooster is right there in the palace. He's faithful to do what he's designed to do. And sin will find you out even if it's the palace.
Right.
Notice the people that were around to hear. First, you got that maid. And in verse 69, you got a damsel. Young girls. Young girls saw this. I mean, right in front of them, man, this rooster just crowed. Didn't matter to them. Right in front of those young girls, Peter began to just blow up, man. He begins to cuss. He begins to ape to swear an oath, you know, not me, you know.
Sin. When your sin finds you out, now it goes from this where you thought it was hidden.
That's right. It's closed.
To where now it affects those who know you. And when it comes out, it'll make a fool out of you. The people that were around here. Not only that, but who else was in that crowd? Who else was the disciples weren't too far off. You know, they had to be nearby. You know those other kids that you thought were your buddies in church? You know? They're going to know it too. The guys you were big and bad with, fellas. Those little girls you with, gals. They're going to know it too. And then, not only this about being faithful to find you out in the palace and the people being exposed, but notice the person being exposed. It didn't just say one of the disciples. It said Peter. You know one thing? This message, there's been messages preached out of this text over and over and over again around the world since Peter did that. People know this story in the beginning. They know this story behind communist bars in communist countries. Amen. They know this story in Cuba. They know this story in Kenya. They know this story in India. They know this story in Africa. And they knew who it was. It didn't just say one of the disciples. When your sin finds you out, it's coming after you. It's going to mark you. Peter denied the Lord in the palace, right in front of everybody. And you're marked. You know, there's preachers today that would love to be here. But they can't be. Because they're marked. Because of one sin.
Right.
One sin. And from now to the day everybody that knows about it dies, that's the preacher that.
That's right.
Yep. Committed that sin. That rooster was faithful to find Peter out. Imagine what would happen. Hey, if that rooster hadn't crowed, if he'd got a sore throat that day, man, I tell you, you should pray for sore throats on roosters in New Guinea. God, give that guy a sore throat, man. He won't shut up. I've never seen one get a sore throat. Man, they just don't quit. But just imagine if that rooster that day had gotten a sore throat. Been the one rooster in all of history that got a sore throat. What would have happened? Peter would have been bolder in his sin. Bolder in his denial. He already said, them guys ain't going to, I'm the one ain't going to do it. They might, but not me. I'm the one ain't going to do it. He's already puffed up about it. Not only was he faithful, but he was fervent to do what he did. He didn't walk out there and go, he was fervent. And he got right out there. And,
And if I know most roosters, and I believe I do, he probably didn't just do it once. He was fervent. That book says in Romans, I believe it's chapter 12, verse 17, be fervent in the spirit.
Amen.
So preacher, why do you get hot and get red? That's all I know to do.
Amen.
Amen. When I get loaded, man, that's all I know to do. I don't know it any other way. Yeah. I can't be. I'd love to be, you know, somebody just gets up nice and quiet. Don Mangus, Brother Don Mangus, he'd stand there like this and just talking a monotone and people would just fall on you over. I'd love to do that, but that's not, I can't do that. For me, fervency is get red in the face.
Yeah.
Hop the pews, man. I mean, whatever. Swing from the chandeliers, but I don't want to break the chains. Amen. I'm too heavy now. For me, that's fervent. I mean, I have literally ran around an auditorium preaching before. I can't do that anymore. I can't suck wind that long.
Yeah.
Fervent to do his job. Sin is fervent to do his job. Sin has got one thing in mind, destruction. And it's fervent to do it. It does not care where you are when it does it.
Thirdly, lastly, sin will fulfill the word of God. That rooster fulfilled the word of God. Jesus, the written word, God manifested in the flesh, said, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. Notice it wasn't the second deny. It wasn't the first denial. It wasn't the fourth denial. Right as that third denial went out, and the next verse says, Peter went out and wept bitter. It was faithful to fulfill God's word. So how does sin fulfill God's word?
Numbers chapter 23, I believe it is. No, it's Numbers 32 and verse 23. The last part of that verse says, be sure your sin, not maybe, not might if you be a good boy, be sure your sin will find you out. You can bank on it. That's God's word.
And right in the middle of it,
first time I preached this message, this is only the second time I've ever preached it in 30 years. I was up in Michigan. I've been preaching mission conference, and the pastor, a pastor up there that supports us, asked me, would I come by and preach at this Christian school? The next morning when the conference was over, I said, sure, I'd be glad to. So I went and I preached to that Christian school, and all I could get, and when somebody asked me, I want you to preach, and it's always going through my head, Lord, what do I preach? What am I going to preach to the people? The minute I get asked, all night long, Brother Lou, I prayed, and every time I would pray, all I would get from God is when the rooster crows. When the rooster crows. I didn't know what I was going to preach. I had no point. Well, I knew when the rooster crows. And I got in the pulpit that morning. Say, why? Because he's crowed on me a time or two. I got in the pulpit that morning and I looked out over those kids. There was, you know, the teachers were there, the pastor's wife were there, but the rest were just, it was all school kids, about, 50, 60 school kids. Christian school, raised a Christian home, all church kids. I got up and preached. As I got into the message, I noticed they had, you know, girls on this side, boys on this side. And I noticed a boy sitting back there about where that row where his head is at. He put his head down. And he got his head in his hand like this, and I thought, wonder what's going on there. And I looked over here, and about over here, where the bailiffs are sitting, was a girl. And she had both hands on her head, and she was crying. And I just preached. I kept preaching. I don't know what's going on.
I got all done and the preacher came up to me in the pulpit. I stepped back as I did. He kind of went like this and we stepped back a little further. And he whispered in my ear, "How did you know?" I said, "I know." "Know what?" He said, "I'll tell you later." And he started looking at me and he said, "Folks, all I did was ask this man to preach. God knows what's going on here. And there's two individuals who know what's going on here. God just pulled your number." And he said a few other things and dismissed them to their classes. As soon as they were dismissing, his wife came up, looked at the preacher and said, "Did you tell him?" "I ain't telling nothing." I said, "No, you didn't tell me. I don't know what I'm supposed to be told. I don't know." And they all made their way back to the classes and the preacher began to tell me. Had a young boy, a young girl, teenager, sneaking out behind the church. You know, out there where nobody saw him, a little small town. More people in the church than there are in the whole town. You know, surrounded by trees out back, you know, hiding in the trees, you know, kind of. Thinking nobody saw him. Till the door flew open, and there was standing the teacher. And that very day, that happened the day before, that very day, the whole thing was to be dealt with. And the pastor found out about it, and had it, you know. And the parents were on their way to school as I preached that message. This message right here, a little different than I did today, but you get the drift. Be sure your sin will find you out.
Yes.
Lord, help us to remember. If you don't remember anything else in this message, remember this. Your sin will find you out. Maybe there's somebody in here, your sin found you out, and boy, it's beating you up bad. Scars, sis. Maybe, just maybe, your sin is beat, and it found you out, amen, and now everybody knows. This isn't to excuse anything, but I know how sin can beat you up. As a saved man, would you remember two things with me? God is faithful to forgive.
Yes,
1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Hallelujah.
And not only that, but remember this. If sin's beating you up right now, God will send you somebody to find you. I've got a preacher friend right now that I'm still on his trail. When I get a chance, every chance I get, I go by his place. Brother Lou, I went to help him one time, and he was hiding up on top of a mountain in a house belonging to his brother. Out in the middle of nowhere, I found him. I went up there. You see, God believes in restoration.
Yes, sir.
I went up there and saw his car, somebody was there, so I drove on by and waited. Got down over the road a little bit where I could kind of watch and saw when the car left, so I drove back. Pulled up in the yard, went in the house. I didn't go in the house, I went up on the porch. Of course, he had gone inside, so started knocking on the door. I knew he was there, his car was there, and he didn't leave. He wouldn't come out. I said, "Lord, what do I do? He won't come out." The Lord said, "Keep knocking." I heard him start stomping back and forth. I'm literally stomping back and forth on the floor upstairs. And he had a porch around three sides of the house. And I said, "Lord, what do I do?" He said, "You stomp on the porch." So I just went. I just let him know I'm there and I ain't leaving. Pretty soon I hear him stomping down the steps. Screen door open. That's all it was. I mean, doors open, screen doors there.
slams the screen door open. Both guns are cocked. Both fists are ready to fight me, his longtime friend. When your sin finds you out, it'll so mess your head up. That the very people that are trying to help you will be the very people you want to despise,
right,
and the very people you want to get rid of. And he made the stance. You're a boxer. He made the stance. I mean, he's ready. What do you want? So I made the stance. I put mine back here because I didn't want to know that I'm ready for about anything. But they were loaded. If I had to, I was going to defend myself. What do you want? And I turned and I went like this. I said, I want you. You don't want me. I said, no, man, I just drove 8 hours. I'm standing here on this porch looking at you, tears running down my face by this time. Because I don't want you. That God sent me with a message for you. Ah, you're the guy ain't talking to me. And I said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
Yes.
And he cleansed us from all unrighteousness. You know what he did? He went from this, I mean from, to this. Reached up, put his arms around me, hugged my neck, cried. Thank you. I told him, I looked at him, I said, I want you to know one thing. The Bible says, Christian, get this. The Bible says a friend loveth at all times.
All right, yes, sir.
One thing I know about that man sitting right there, he's going to love you at all times. I said, don't you forget it. And I said, when you get to the end of the road you're on, and you turn around, the first face you're going to see is this one. Ugly as it is. He smiled then and said, thank you. Still not right with God yet. That's been 3 years ago. Say, what? Where did you get that scripture? Well, in Mark 16:7, he said, but go your way. That angel said, but go your way and tell his disciples and Peter. See, they knew that Pete was hiding out now because that sin is beating him so bad. Listen, if they hadn't gone after Peter, you wouldn't have read about Pentecost. You might have, but there'd have been somebody else in there we don't even know. But he went and said, get his disciples. Oh, by the way, while you're out there, get Peter. Find Peter. Tell Peter he's going to God. Tell Peter. Tell Peter, you know, he may have gone down. A good man will fall down 7 times, but he'll get back up again. Amen. The righteous fall 7 times, but he'll get back up again. Oh, by the way, tell Peter that we're not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them which believe unto the saving of the soul. Yeah, you made a mess. God's in the restoration business. But better off, you never make a mess. And if you can all at all avoid it, get it right now. That thing that's on your heart, that thing that's ringing in your ears, that thing the Holy Ghost is speaking to you about right now.
Yes.
Get it right before it finds you in. Then God won't have to send somebody. God already sent several somebodies to warn you. Get it right while you can. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Lord, I pray you just take the word of God and help us, God, to realize how vicious sin can be to us. Lord, I pray help us, Lord, to deal with those things you deal with us about. Get them right while we can.